last two pages were two best friends who love to read, bought all this equipment, did all this work, put this together, edited it, made this brand, all for literal funsies, and just can't keep it to themselves. I'm Teresa.
And I'm Megan. And on this episode, we're going to be talking about our lives outside of the podcast.
Bum, bum, bum. Crazy.
How are you? Baddykins. I don't know why in my ears it sounded like you did a horse thing. Like, like off in the corner.
Nay. I get Invisalign tomorrow.
You're going to have the straightest teeth.
It's going to be so bizarre.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about it?
I have a nice smile. Mm-hmm. To me. I like my smile. Other people like my smile. I got hired to be a tour guide because of my smile.
But now I really love your smile. It's very
camp.
It's camp. No, it like has charm to it. Do you know what I mean? Like, yes. Certain smiles are like picture perfect, aren't giving. Yours has like this, like, oh my God, you're so sweet. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, bless her heart. That homely looking girl.
That is not what I'm saying.
I knew someone that thought homely was a compliment. And
not a compliment.
Yeah, sorry about it. Even though it should be.
No.
I think comely is, because it's like, you know, it's like, has, isn't that a thing? Comely? Like, they're a very comely person.
Becoming?
I don't know. Anyways, I'm getting I'm Invisalign gonna start calling tomorrow. You now. I'm getting Invisalign.
Awesome.
And that will be a new, I feel like I'm 14 years old, but freshman.
You're young at heart.
Freshman year of high school, here I come.
I'm so excited to join the basketball team.
You can't even talk. That's how you sounded.
The basketball team, as if. You're 5'2 ass trying to join the basketball. As the basketball, maybe.
I made the volleyball team, but I quit it. Because
the you coach are the was crazy. Gayest straight person I know. Like, you and really are.
You know, I'll take it. I do have a drill and impact driver set.
The way that I you asked for that for your birthday.
No, here's the thing. If I were not straight,
whore.
No, it would just be not too easy, but it would be. The amount of women that approach me at bars that just think I'm gay, and my profession, which we'll get into, is one of those reasons.
Yeah,
I have like way too many stories of people just thinking I'm gay, and then they'll like, I've had someone come up to me and go, so I'm assuming you're gay, and then started talking to me, and I went,
oopsie,
hold please, sorry. Nope. And she went white face. I was like, you just assumed my sexuality. And she ran away, and I was like, she was like, I thought I wasn't alone. And I was like, girl, you're at a
you frat. You are not alone. Are you kidding me?
You're at a frat party.
Oh, I thought it was at a club. I was like, at the club?
That
at
was
the
club? A frat party. I have way too many stories of just women coming
approaching
at
you.
Yeah. And
yeah,
I was like,
I feel like you do.
This is easy.
Mine's a good half and half, but that also kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Me, so that's great.
But alas,
Invisalign it is. I'm for into your men. Future.
I'm excited. It'll be a fun little thing. Unless I have rubber bands, I'm a little nervous about that, but
oh well. Dental work's kind of weird, so I get it.
I know. I used to have headgear.
I never had headgear.
So. At night. It was like a face shield. I had to attach rubber bands to my retainer. I had it for 2 years.
Cute. That's 2 years?
Uh-huh.
And they never were like, yeah, let's give her braces. They were like, no, we're going to make her wear headgear for 2 years.
I had the special retainer that you have to like crank to tighten every day.
Oh, the one that's like built in.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Ooh. And there's like a little hole on top, and every day there's like this little metal contraption, and someone had to like crank it, and it would just gag me for like 2 years straight. And then I had my headgear, and then the dentist said, if you bring that back, you get $10. And I thought that $10 was $1 million. So I was like, I'm getting that $10. Tell the yars. And I did. I did, even though I lost it in a couch for like 3 months. But
that tracks heavily.
It's cool. All because of my middle tooth was growing back behind my bottom teeth, because I lost my middle tooth when I was 3 and didn't grow back until I was 8. So all I wanted for Christmas was my other front tooth. And then it grew in crooked because I knocked it out and it like messed up the roots.
You have quite an interesting dental history.
I have some, honestly, like me and the dentist, there's some trauma. I like my... The first dentist I went to was like not great or something. I don't know. It just like, terrified me of dentists and like dental work. Metal on my teeth, my least favorite feeling in the entire world. I have to like get laughing gas when I like get fillings because I just like can't stand it. I'm a baby at heart.
But you are. You're a baby.
How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for asking.
I asked. That's like the whole point.
I'm doing good. Not much to complain about, honestly. The sun has been out, not today, but
it's literally raining.
I know, but like
yesterday was super sunny.
Yeah, like yesterday was great. It was nice and windy and warm, and it will just be getting warmer here, so I'm grateful for that.
Last night we got sushi at this place.
Oh my god. Like way, mountains of sushi.
Way more expensive than I thought it was going to be, but it was like all you can eat, and it was like that's all you could get. And usually all you can eat like sushi, all of the rolls are kind of the same across the board. You kind of know what you're getting into. It's always like they're not that great, but they're good. Love sushi.
Right, right.
But this place, everything they had was just
unreal.
Mm-mm-mm.
Delicious.
Shout out Ichiban. That was really good. And then they had on their dessert menu creme brulee. Oh,
I had freshly made mochi.
Ugh.
The dough was just so soft with the ice cream. And the bowl was heated, so it would melt the ice cream faster. I was like, the little details that are making this place amazing. And it was delicious. Like, everything we got was like...
So good.
I eat sushi quite a bit. That's like, if I take Parker to eat anywhere, it's like, okay, where's all you can eat that's not going to make either of us throw up?
And I bet we got parasites.
What?
It's apparently like if there's like a lot of parasites and like raw fish across the board. And so most humans apparently have parasites, even though I don't really know if I believe in the parasite, not fad, kind of.
I'll take what tapeworm she's having.
Literally.
That joke. Yeah.
Glee.
Wait, sushi's delicious.
I love it. I'll take all the parasites.
Love sashimi. Just like the big slab of whatever.
Don't tell that to the parasites if they're real.
They're listening.
Yeah.
This episode, we decided we wanted to talk to you all about just like our lives and like what we do outside of this podcast. I know that some of you probably have followed us on our Bookstagrams.
We've hinted to it.
Yeah, but I don't think we've just talked about like, this is what we do.
Who are we?
Or whatever. Yeah. Like who are these people behind the camera that read books? Who are we? Behind the microphones.
And if you don't care, cool. Keep listening.
I think we're pretty cool. So. That's fine. So we met a long time ago.
Yes,
obviously.
We know
we've
this.
Heard the story. We've been friends for 18 years. But we really became friends in high school where we went to the same high school. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there were a lot of pivotal moments from that like we became closer friends.
Yeah.
Even though seemingly we were like the opposite people.
Yeah, and when we told everyone we were rooming together freshman year of college, no one thought we would. Everyone told us it was a bad idea.
They, like, pulled me aside, and they're like, are you sure you want to do this? And I was like...
And people were like, are you really going to be able to, like each other? Like, people who room with, like, their best friends, it, like, never goes well.
Which is totally valid.
And some people, it didn't. And, like, arguably... But no, we didn't end our freshman year hating each other.
No. No.
And we spent way too much time together.
That, I think, was the problem.
I think that was the issue, is we spent too much time together. And then when we, like, spent time apart, it felt weird and wrong. Like, I wasn't supposed to be doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was just, like, awkward because then we didn't know how to, like, set those boundaries yet.
Right.
But it didn't, like...
We lived together two separate years.
We're so it was still like chilling.
Our freshman year
But that college. Year we were roommates.
Yeah, we were roommates. And then we took a year away from each other. And then we moved back in together. But into a house that time. And we had four other roommates besides us. So it was like a lot of people in general.
They know this.
And then, yeah, it was great. I don't know. Like, I feel like we became closer every time we lived together. But in high school specifically, we... became closer friends because of choir and theater.
La 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 la.
Yeah, surprising, I know. But theater specifically,
it consumed.
I feel like that's all we did. We saw each other constantly because
all,
of that.
All of our, well, because it was like all year round we had something. We had like the musical and then we had one act and then we had the play.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, it was our sports.
Ew, I hate that you said that.
At the same time people were at sports, we were
chilling in, our performing arts center.
The pack.
Yeah.
Our high school did have one of the biggest performing arts centers in the state.
Yeah, it's the biggest performing
arts center. Shout out. And it was built for an orchestra, and we never had an orchestra at our school. Fun fact. So sound-wise, it was made for an orchestra. Beautiful. So everything else, it just kind of sucked for.
What was your favorite role that you played in theater?
Your man.
I was like, when were you my husband? No, no.
I was not prepared for this question. Oh,
that's fine.
When I was fairy godmother in Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella our senior year.
Iconic role.
I had a transformation. Except for during performances, I had like a fever of like 102, and then these people that were judging us put in the notes that the girl who played Fairy Godmother, I should seek out voice lessons. And I was like my performances were not good. Well, but it's like her songs are so like, and like if you have a cold and are sick, you can't hit any of those notes,
right?
And that was me. And either way, it was really fun though, but slightly traumatizing,
right? I think my favorite role is gonna be in Antigone, honestly. I think even though I had a small part,
that was fun. That was our
it
one
was
act
so much fun. Antigone, okay, was our
but
one
it was
act.
Antigone now, and if you know anything about theater or one act or like the show of Antigone, this is like dystopian, the story of like Eteocles, and it was Smitty. So weird. It was like post-apocalyptic, like a rubbled city, and we were like,
I was a prostitute.
I was a gypsy woman.
Yeah, but in
I was a
the show.
Yeah
you were. Yeah, you were.
Was.
In the show, we couldn't come right out and say like, "Oh, Megan is playing a prostitute." So we said like, Megan is playing a hetaira, which in Greek mythology, this was like the female most respected by like men because they like could trust them with like speaking about intelligent things because they were also prostitutes. So I honestly like that was a good defining moment for me where I was like, it felt like a reclaiming of like what everyone had said about me in high school, not to get like super deep or anything.
Homewrecker. Yeah.
Even beyond that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where like I always had to be like the black sheep or the example, and it felt like a reclaiming of like, yeah, so what?
Exactly.
And what? So
what
that was
it?
Fantastic. I loved that. Also, I looked super hot.
I got to be barefoot. Loved that.
Oh, I wore like, fishnets. So
I like drew these tattoos all over and they were so fun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's also where I met Parker. So that's also a defining
her
feature.
Boyfriend
of that. So it was great. Yeah, I loved Antigone.
That was a fun one act. It was our senior year. It was like one of the last things we did.
We became really close senior year. I think that was when we like solidified our friendship.
Mm-hmm.
I argue. We went on a bunch of trips together, like through school.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's why we were like, you're going to the college? I'm going to that college. We should like
let it be known. Go. Everyone that was like, don't, you shouldn't room together. Megan asked me to room with her.
I did. don't regret it.
No, me neither.
No.
It was fun.
I remember specifically...
Except it was your fault that we weren't in the dorms.
How is it my fault that we weren't
you
in the dorms?
You turned in the application late.
I don't recall.
I do. Because I turned mine in right away. And then
that's
Megan's
unlike me.
Was late. You had to like email them specially or something. You had to like do something. There was like an issue with yours. And then we got put in
We never lived in a dorm. We lived in an apartment. Apartments. Like an on-campus apartment. So.
Like a 15-minute walk from campus. Not 15. It was like 10 minutes. It was a hike. It was still good.
I don't know. It was a good time.
Probably would have been better for mental health to be shoved around people though, but.
Maybe. So what did you go to school for?
I originally went to school for environmental science. So freshman year, that's what I was in for. But then I started a math and a chemistry class. And I last math class I'd taken was Algebra 2. And I failed that final, fun fact. And that was 2 years later. I'm in this freshman pre-calc class. And they're like, this is a learn on your own class. And then you come to us with questions. And I said... Absolutely not. And I was in this chem class and I said, I cannot do this. And so I just started looking on our little website at our school for like other majors. And I stumbled upon environmental and outdoor education. And I was like, this is everything I want out of a degree. And that first week is second sem, I dropped out of those classes, enrolled in like the first few classes for EOE, the abbreviation for environmental and outdoor education. And at that time, I was also a double major in studio art. And then my senior year, I did drop that studio art down to a minor so I could graduate on time. And so I'd graduated with a degree in environmental and outdoor education and studio art. And what EOE is pretty much exactly what it sounds like. Jobs in this realm range from park ranger, conservation officer, like that realm. You could go like DRNR out to... environmental learning schools, recreation, guiding, and all that goodness in between.
It's so cool.
It's amazing. I had the best time. I had the best classes ever. Everyone in my, I met were, they were all amazing. They're all the best type of people.
Mm-hmm.
Caveat. Until... some, not everyone's perfect, not everyone's great. Well, but as with most,
I feel like in general, most of the people in your classes were great.
But everyone was amazing. I loved my classes. I loved my professors. I loved my classmates. And we all just had a great time. Like the classes I took were like wellness philosophy, field interp, outdoor skills, like we went on camping trips, we went all over Duluth and like learned about all of this stuff and like geology and birding, and then we took like management classes and the whole shebang. We got like, the whole point is like to get the tool belt and like a basic knowledge of like all of these expanses of the in the outdoor field. Like I took a ropes course management class and like,
that's so cool,
a canoeing class and everything. It just covers it all. Mm-hmm. And it was so fun.
I was so jealous. Trace is like, yeah, I have to go to a canoeing class. And they're like, have canoes in the pool.
Yeah.
On campus. I'm like, what?
We're learning how to do tea rescues today. It was so fun. And all my art classes were also really fun. But I mostly did ceramics classes, even though I'm more of a painter. But, oh my gosh, the painting professors have something up their butts.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's any art class, though. It's hard to... I feel like it would be very difficult to judge anything or, like, to grade anything that's not your personal style.
It's not so much grading as they didn't let... the painting classes I wanted to take, it was, like, senior year, and I was going on a trip at the end of the semester, so I'd be gone for 2 weeks. This is post-COVID. Mm-hmm. We know people can miss 2 weeks of school, and it was towards the end of the semester when I'd be missing it. And this painting professor wouldn't even let me in, even though I, like, preemptively told him that. And he was like, no. You need to be doing this and this for this long. I'm like, it was just dumb. And so he didn't even let me in. So then I had to take this animation class that was genuinely the bane of my existence.
I remember that.
Oh my gosh. I will never be an animator. Props to animators, because holy crap, that's way too much work.
Ugh. Not fun.
But so all my ceramics classes were really great, and I did this whole project on cyborg animals.
Oh, I love that.
Because we had to, like, for ceramics 3, I had to choose this emphasis, and mine, my, like, plot line was environmental disaster, all the animals are dead, and so humans are trying to, like, repopulate these areas or, like, restore them to their previous glory, and so they are creating these, like, cyborg animals, but because it's not the real thing, it keeps failing, and so it's a bunch. I had one where it was like a dead fox, and all their bones are made out of like motherboards and circuitry. And then I did have like a bear skull and a deer hoof.
Your bunny was so cute.
Bunny that was like had a scratch, and then it released like, or like showed the circuit boards underneath, and mm-hmm. It was really fun. I love my ceramics professor. She really let me do that.
It was a really cool idea. I loved great. That.
I loved it. Another project I did was literally rocks with lichen on them out of ceramics.
We love lichen.
Yeah. Fantastic. We do. If you don't know what lichen is, I have a video on YouTube. All about it.
About that. That's funny.
What did you go to school for?
So I went to school for marketing. Originally I wanted to go in for marketing analytics, which basically you are measuring the success of marketing campaigns, and like you're the one to explain to executives like this is this campaign did well for these reasons and touched these different demographics. This is what you should do to have a next successful thing. So it's basically you're looking at market trends, you're looking at all of it and like creating a measured percentile of like, hey, this is what you should do. Didn't end up going into that because of COVID and all of the stuff that happened with that. It just was too difficult. There were only like 15 people that got in a year. The professor was super cool though. I met with him multiple times, but it just wasn't going to work with me being gone. And then I didn't end up leaving for that long. But at that point, I was already just kind of like checked out of school. I think that's kind of my arc with school. After COVID happened, I was completely checked out and like almost dropped out. Didn't, because I was like, I care too much about my degree. I want to do something. Yeah. Like it was just too much. So I ended up going to school for just like a marketing degree. Looking back on it now, I wish I did design, like marketing and design, but those are degrees you have to start your freshman year. So I would be in school for 6 years. Yeah. So it was just that kind of stuff that was so frustrating to me. That's okay. So I instead got two minors, one in sustainability. Actually it's technically called sustainable business and organization. And it basically is about how being sustainable can still be profitable and you're working with businesses to be more environmentally conscious and not just greenwash, because it's just so stupid. And the place we went to school very much was of the opinion that like environmentalism is super important, which you can see from like Teresa's degree. So you had a lot of support from the community there where like they were trying to create net zero emission housing. Like they were building homes for that to happen. So that was really cool to see and how businesses supported that. We had like Xcel come out and be like, we're going to give you all of these things to make sure this works and whatever for research. So that's kind of how that degree went, or like that minor went. I had to take a lot of econ classes for that. And it was basically measuring if this many people use this beach, what is the degree of
impact
use until it starts to decline.
Oh.
And it was like, how many people can be there without it being a detriment to the area?
What's that called? So annoying. That's called something.
Yeah, I don't
it's
remember.
It's not max capacity. I talked about that and it's
Yeah. So that I had two econ classes about that, and then it was like emission stuff with companies and like being a mediator. My second minor was in psychology, and that specifically I wanted to talk about like market research in psychology and like how advertising affects the human brain and like how it affects how we present ourselves to the world, how we present a product, how we interact with products around us. And it's really interesting seeing the evolution of TikTok and how that contributes to buyer behavior and consumerism in general. Like, nothing is ever good enough. And so we put our personal beliefs upon the things that we buy. Super interesting. So I have a psychology minor. I should have just gotten a degree because it's super interesting to me.
Go figure.
But marketing, I took all of those classes and none of them really meant anything to me because I was working my last 2 years, really, of school. So I already had a full-time job that I was doing as a marketing. What was I at that time? Marketing intern? I guess I was interning. But I was working there, and so my classes were just kind of like supplemental learning on top of my career that was starting.
Oh, wow.
So I wasn't really invested in school the way Teresa was, and I was super jealous that like classes. She was able to be like, oh my god, yes, school, and I love it and it's fantastic. And I'm like, I had to go to an economics class and almost shot myself, which, looking back on it, it's my responsibility what classes I took, but there's only so many choices in some of these majors that I'm like, the death of me. But
yeah, I loved it.
I don't regret going to school at all. But
we had like four main professors that we had over and over, and yeah, they were great.
I had like 40. Love that.
It's really fun. And that, what are you doing with that today, Megan?
So I consider myself a creative coordinator designer. Creative coordinator slash designer. It's kind of confusing, but
she makes PowerPoints.
I work for a healthcare company designing PowerPoints and doing digital mock-ups. Basically what I sell is the ability at the point of sale to tell you if a food or a over-the-counter item is covered by your health plan. At the very minimum of what I can tell you, that's basically what it is. So if Therese is going to the store and she has a basket full of Band-Aids and Apple and Diet Coke, her health plan would be like, oh yes, through our system, we can pay for your Band-Aids and your Apple, but you're going to have to pay for your Diet Coke.
Valid.
So
that's valid.
I mean, I think it's super interesting, but I also think the point of sale is interesting in itself.
I'm glad you like what you're doing.
Yeah. And PowerPoint design is so much more interesting than I thought it was. Like, it sounds super stupid, and I kind of get paid dumb amounts of money to just work on PowerPoint all the time. I recollect my days in like middle school where they're like, all right, we're gonna do a PowerPoint on about you, and then you'd like change the background to like rubber ducks and like the weirdest text and like that's the cringiest animations. And I think about that and I'm like, oh my god, like that's basically what I'm doing. Like, we day in, day out, I'm like working on PowerPoints.
Amazing.
So we decided to also dress like our career choices.
Oh yeah, but Megan told me this too late, so this is all I had. But frankly,
Patagonia
fleece is pretty accurate.
Yeah.
The one thing, we would always joke that our major was like professional camp counselor. Like, we went to school to learn how to build a fire. But the one thing that we really learned how to do is dress for the weather.
That is so true. You have so many wool socks.
I got a lot of layers.
Mm-hmm.
As you need your three W's.
So what do you do?
Wicking, warmth, and wet. The shell.
What do you mean by that?
So your base layer should be a natural fiber, something that wicks sweat away. Your warmth layer should be something that will keep the heat. A fleece is a perfect example of a warmth layer. And then the shell is like a raincoat or a coat for the wind to keep you warm. Three
the more
W's.
You know.
And cotton, bad.
As I'm wearing a cotton shirt.
Well, you're not like out
true.
And about.
I like I'm corporate as corporate can yeah. be, if I'm being honest. I go to an office and they have like a gym there and yeah. like a food court.
No.
And then I go home.
Cotton is bad because when it gets wet, it doesn't retain any heat. That's why wool is what you should look for in your socks, because even when it's wet, it will still retain heat and mm-hmm. keep you warm. Cotton will only take heat from you. And what I am doing in my field, I'm in outdoor recreation education. So we...
Woo!
It's so fun. Like, I did an archery program yesterday, and like, I go on hikes every week. I lead a trails club for women.
I went. It was super fun.
And it's a blast. I love it. Mm-hmm. And this is just a seasonal job until May, and then I will be working at a summer camp this summer. Super excited. I love Camp working. Rock. I love working in summer camps. And we do like geocaching and disc golf, and well, we were supposed to do a lot of ice fishing and snowshoeing, but we didn't. That's why I talked a lot about the weather in the past many episodes, because the weather is the main factor for my job.
Right.
And it's so fun. Like, the people are all so great, and we just get outside.
I love it.
That's our goal, is to, like, help people recreate and, like, uplift them to know that this is something they can do and know that it is a place for them that they belong. I love it.
That's fantastic.
It's a great place to be. Mm-hmm. The outdoors. The
outdoors is fantastic. I say as I stare at a screen all day long.
Yeah, you really gotta, like, go smell some dirt, eat some grass.
Well, and I think that's why it's, like, I have to be very intentional about, like, leaving my house and, like, working out, because I literally just stand at a desk all day. And it's
fun fact, there is, I forget if it's an enzyme or a bacteria in dirt that straight up releases serotonin in your brain. So, frankly, gardeners being happier than all the rest of us, there's a science behind
that.
Isn't that crazy? So go smell some dirt sometime. Mm. Roll around in the mud.
Eat some wood.
Unleash your inner child.
That's fantastic.
Eat some wood.
Mm-hmm.
You said it.
You said it, like, episode one.
Eat some wood.
You and beavers.
Hey. What did you just ask me?
Like, what do you do outside of work?
Oh, so I spend a lot of time with my family and my nieces and nephews. Love them all. And I paint. Recently, I've really been into painting pet portraits, but only of your pets as pirates or a various character. They're like, they're so fun. I did one for Megan for her birthday. And
it's amazing.
Have you seen Treasure Planet? It's of Nova with the Treasure Planet cat captain's outfit.
It's adorable. It's so cute.
I popped off with that one.
So cute.
And I like to paint. I like to... What do?
That's it.
I mean, hobbies-wise, yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like outside of work, I'm like, I'm either doing that, watching something, reading something, or like... recording for our little podcast.
Yeah,
this is
I guess it also is like your hobbies are your job.
That's true.
Like, so much of your job
fulfilled.
Yeah, encapsulates. Nice. I love that. That's fun.
And you have hobbies.
I do have hobbies. As a corporate girly, you have to have hobbies to not
lose your mind.
Obviously, I'd love to read. I think that's super valid. I think that's something we both like to do. Obviously, because
I've heard people like
two pages. I also got into cross stitching a little bit ago, and I love doing that. If you are on YouTube, you can see behind us two of the little butterfly moths that I did. Originally I was going to start a cross stitching like business of sorts where I would like sell my designs. And at the moment, I do not have time for all that. So you can see these are some of them that I was going to do. These are all based on
book genres.
So this is our sci-fi one.
She's fantasy. She's classics.
Yeah. So it was a really like fun way to create stuff. I love paint by numbers as well. That's super fun. Love it.
I want to get into crocheting.
Dude, me too. I want to learn how to do it. And so if you, listening to this, know how to crochet and want to teach us, please teach us. I want to do it so bad. And I don't know how. Anyway, I think, honestly, that's, I like learning as well. I think, like, that's a big part of my hobby, like, being creatively fulfilled and, like, learning things. So, like, I love the spirituality within, like, crystals and yoga and astrology. Like, I devote a lot of time to that. I feel like that's something that's kind of a part of my core function, so love doing that. Being creatively fulfilled is really just like how I live about my life. you're environmentally fulfilled. No, I would say that's still creatively fulfilled. I don't know. You know, some people can like just exist in the world without creating.
Oh,
I can't imagine ever living like that.
No.
I need to constantly be like.
Yeah, I've been painting since like. I've been doing art since middle school.
Right.
Art is just where our heart belongs. Yeah, and that is kind of the reason we started this podcast, is because it was just another little outlet for us both in a new way where we could learn something new. And all of the pieces going into it were like a way we could have a little outlet, especially with you and the branding you went all in.
You've no idea. At my core, marketing, I wanted to do branding so bad because it was so interesting. And so learning the full Adobe suite, like over the course of my career, but then having to learn Premiere Pro and Adobe Audition to like do this podcast was like a whole new realm. I'm like, why doesn't it work the way the rest of these apps work? I'm so confused. But it was super fulfilling to be like, yes, I know how to do this and I'm doing it for something that goes out into the world, like this podcast, and it's great. And I feel like there's an appreciation in myself. Like, I feel proud of myself for doing it, but also just like, I feel appreciation from our audience from that, you know, like they appreciate that there's a video if you want it to watch it. It is not easy lining up the audio with the video, but there's an appreciation for people that just watch YouTube.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, yes, absolutely. I'll do that. That's amazing.
And even if you like look at all of our fonts and whatnot,
when you, like
Megan put a lot of work into
it. Went crazy on some of this. I named every color that we use. I like designed the logo by hand, like hand and Illustrator, like doing our little swoop of the G and the little book behind. Like, I spent countless hours making it perfect for you guys. And that's honestly why we talked about this podcast maybe 7 months before we actually launched. Brand building, trying to build up like knowledge of how we're going to do this, pilot episodes. We really didn't know what was going to come of it, or if it was just going to be like, oh yeah, me and Trice have these like 7 videos we made that this are just going like, to sit on my computer.
This is just a side quest for us, honestly.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
It's been great for our friendship and great for
it's a like, core me memory personally. For us.
Yeah. Amazing.
We've got a few of those.
A few core memories.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier about one of our core memories of us living in Duluth together. Do you remember?
I do remember it.
I don't think you do.
We went ice skating one winter morning. So in Duluth, there's like the downtown canal area. And this winter, it had like iced over and it was thick ice. And there was no snow. And it rarely happens where it's like clear ice for like this entire expanse. And so everyone, these few days that it was like an opportunity, was like ice skating out on them. And we went one morning, and if you know like Superior, especially the Duluth side, the sun sets, it comes over like Superior, it's so beautiful. And we went ice skating in like, oh, the sun was just hitting the, it was so magical.
It was just beautiful. It was tweaking me out because you could hear the ice like
shifting
as you were on it, and so obviously, but it's that's like crazy, but
at least 3 feet. It was some thick ice,
right?
Like,
I think the last time that had happened in Duluth, I feel like you were telling me it was like 15 years before.
It was like
very rare that like there's iced over and like
clear,
no snow. You could see like down into in the water bubbles.
And people could like ice skate up the shore, like a whole thing. It was
incredible.
So sick.
Normally there's surfers on Lake Superior that like winter. Do like winter surfing,
yeah,
which is nuts.
And they
so,
still find places to do that.
Yeah, it was a magical moment it between was. Us. It was great. I lost a mitten and then I went back down and found it because that was like my favorite mitten.
Wow.
So
she brought books out. This is before I had a bookstagram and she had a bookstagram.
I brought my These Broken Stars trilogy down in a backpack onto the ice and I took pictures with them there because I was like, oh my god, like if we're gonna go all the way down there, I want to like at least have something for the bookstagram. And lo and behold, I got pictures with my books on the ice. And it was like, magical moment.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It was pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Now here we are.
I feel like I don't even remember like half of the memories I have with you. Do you know, like, I, that's redundant and stupid, but like, I feel like I can't recall a time where you weren't there. So I feel like all of my memories are yours too. So I can't distinguish if you're there or not in some of them.
Does oh, that that's sense? So valid. I do that with people.
I'm like, yeah, you're, she's like, yeah, I do that with people. Not with you though, bitch.
No, I've done that with like my cousin where I like forgot he was there and I'm like, oh, sorry.
Oh,
got like, it. I'll forget people are there.
Right. I just make assumptions in college that we probably did it together if I was outside of my house.
That's valid. That's a really, that's valid. That's our life. All we've ever done. What are we reading right now? I'm still on my Lord of the Rings journey. Not much to report. It's getting better. I like it.
Is that all you're going to say?
Yeah.
Is Gandalf still in your head?
Yeah, someone said, tell him the times two. And I said, okay. Reprogramming your brain. Psychology.
That's how you got to do it. Build a mind castle. Anyway, I am reading A Curse for True Love by Stephanie Garber. I just started it. I have heard amazing things. And I am super, super excited. It's the one that I read Stephanie Garber, the Carvel series, and I really loved that. And this is like a continuation somewhat. It's like a completely different like time, and like there's some characters that come into this book though. And so I'm super excited about it because I loved Carvel in a way that I didn't think I would. So I've heard amazing things about the series, and the main character has pink hair. And so I'm like, yes, ma'am. Yes, very concerned about the male main character having blonde hair, but I just read Shatter Me, so I figured it's a great time.
I've seen so much fan art about that book.
That's the thing. I see so much fan art, and I'm like, no, I need to read it, because I think fan art does something to me.
It does.
Mentally, and I'm like, I need to read this book now, because now I want to know the context.
And AI fan art is garbage.
We talk about it on our dog-eared episode of our Problems with Bookstagram, maybe? Actually. Yeah.
Oh.
I had a whole tangent, actually 20 minutes of it we cut because I went on a whole tangent about how horrible AI art is, but
just bad.
That was when everyone was doing their profile pictures in AI art, and like, I get it.
I like try not to think about it, because honestly one time I did think about it, and it's actually just the lamest thing to ever dwell on, because it's like, you're really taking so much from people that spend all this time and like put their heart and soul into these pieces of art.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like using ChatGPT or
people had talked about how you really can tell normally when like a photo has AI art or not, like an art piece. That's not what it actually said. The tweet was about how I came to believe in the existence of a soul based on AI art because it doesn't have a soul behind it. But normal art, he was like, I understand now why people like believe in souls, because I can tell the difference between if something is built from human hands rather than machine. And I was like,
damn,
my brain hurts.
That's intense.
But isn't that like that actually, like I look at it and I don't feel anything behind it really.
Yeah.
I see a lot of AI art, unfortunately, just either from being on Bookstagram.
There's a lot out there.
Or from being on Twitter.
And
like,
praised heavily.
For why? I just saw that
they're
Pink
honestly
Floyd,
ugly.
Pink Floyd they're actually ugly. Just did a video on, he had like a contest for who could make a music video and like animate a music video. And the person that won it, it was $100,000 used an AI video. And people are coming out and being like, literally, what is wrong with you? And they like showed examples of like some of the other videos that were done. Beautiful, incredible videos that it was like hand-drawn animation that took them months, and he chose like an AI guitar. Horrible. Like,
thumbs
it's
down, Pink
not
Floyd.
Okay. So yeah, that's, I have strong opinions about AI art, but
what's she gonna do?
It just is a part of life, and I could be upset about it.
And on that note, thank you all for listening to this episode of Last Two Pages, and we'll see you on the next page.